Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5. The game online at thegamenashville.com on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Floyd, you like how I started the show today?
Sure. A little change up.
Well, I did it to pay umbrage to Mike and the Mad Dog because that's how Mad Dog used to start the show. And I watched the 30 for 30 Mike and the Mad Dog last night. So I want to give a little shout out to Mike and the Mad Dog right there. So there's that. It will go back to the it is for the rest of eternity. Okay, Floyd. Fireball Hot Take Friday. And you know what that means. The hottest take of the day will win a prize courtesy of our friends at Fireball. But usually the way we do Fireball Hot Take Friday is we come out with our hot takes and then you guys kind of react to them. Today's going to be a little bit different. I want to have a Vanderbilt caucus for the first hour of the show. So I want to hear from Vanderbilt fans, Vanderbilt students, although I doubt there's a huge portion of, you know, 19-year-olds from New Jersey who are in July, you know, in Nashville, Tennessee, that are listening to the show, but I could be wrong. We're pretty popular. So Vanderbilt students, alumni, employees, fans, everybody, I want to hear from today on Vanderbilt. We are going to have a Vanderbilt caucus for the first hour of the show. We're going to talk Vandy here because today gives us this opportunity. And it all started because 2 days ago, Jordan Rogers came on our show from the SEC Network, former Vandy quarterback, and essentially slammed Vanderbilt's administration for not stepping up to the plate and building facilities on par with everybody else in the SEC. We then had a discussion about it yesterday, which led to Braden and Fitz talking about it this morning. And even though they talked about it for an hour, I think it's pretty much summed up real well in about this 15-second clip from Fitz, who this was, I guess, if Braden and Fitz were to put out a thesis on what they did for an hour this morning in discussing Vanderbilt, this would be the actual sentence that is the thesis.
I will say Stillman came in and said, hey, Kentucky invest. Why can't, Kentucky spend a ton of money on a brand new facility? Why can't Vandy? Again, if you talk to a Kentucky major about, or a Kentucky student at University of Kentucky about sports, you think that conversation sounds the same at all when you talk to a Vandy kid? No. I mean, they're serving their audience, and their audience is a private institute of higher learning that does not, on the whole, to the same level, does not care about football.
Floyd, do you think that that's accurate? Do you think that's Vanderbilt's audience? And do you think Vanderbilt's lack of interest in competing facility-wise with the rest of the SEC lies in the truth of what Fitz said right there?
Well, I mean, obviously, I don't know. I would just say this, though. If that, in fact, is true, and if, in fact, they really don't care, they need to get out of the SEC now. I mean, this is big-time program, big-time ball. And if you are going to be a part of the SEC, and if you are going to take the SEC money, and if you are going to run around with your chest stuck out because you are a part of the SEC, you have to at least pretend like you're trying to compete in the SEC. And if you don't want to do that, we understand that. You know what? Go to the, you know, Ohio Valley, or go to one of those other conferences someplace, and I guarantee you the SEC will find another very strong candidate to come in and fill that slot.
This is my one thing on Vandy that I think needs repeating, because when you discuss facilities, and I have not been to every facility in the Southeastern Conference, I would believe, I think you have. If I had to take a guess, in your career, you've been to, and not just the stadiums, but the practice facilities and the locker rooms. And,
oh, yeah, several times.
I mean, you've been to all of them, so you would know better than anybody else. The difference between Vandy and the rest of the SEC, it's not even close. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 Vanderbilt. And that's the problem here is, as of last year, you were 3 points worse than South Carolina. You lost 13-10. So what can you do to make up that 3-point gap against South Carolina? What can you do to make up the 7-point gap against Florida? You lost to the SEC East champion by a touchdown last year. If you have 3 or 4 more kids that are just better that come to Vanderbilt, because not only is the city amazing, not only is the school great, not only does the coach seem like a good guy, but you go to Vanderbilt because you know what? Their facilities, they may not be the best in the SEC, but at least they're doable. Then you win against Florida if you get 2 or 3 more really good kids. That's all it takes in football. You know that. two or three good kids erase a touchdown deficit. Two or three kids erase 3 points against South Carolina. And now you're competing. And that's kind of the thing that I get at, is it's not like we're asking Vanderbilt to invest $350 million into something right now. I mean, it'd be nice if they did. But even if it's $40 million or $50 million or whatever it may be, and your yearly check from the SEC is somewhere around $40 million, then you're doing all right. I want to know if the truth about Vanderbilt's university is that they just don't care enough. If that's the case, and if you're a Vanderbilt fan and you're listening and you say, well, Jared, you know, honestly, we really don't care about winning that much, then okay.
Well, I mean, you know what? I can see what Fitzy's saying. I mean, I can understand that. And he could absolutely be correct. And that could be the thought process from the chancellor clear down to, you know, whoever the worst student on campus is. I mean, every one of those people could think. But being a part of a conference is a partnership. I mean, you don't join a conference just to take, and give nothing. I mean, you're part of a conference, and in this case, it's a very prestigious conference. And I think because of that, you at least owe them the attempt to try to be. And like I said, if you can't do that, won't do that, don't want to do it, aren't interested in, I understand that. And I, like I said, I have absolutely no problem with that. But we need to get in another conference. We need to get out of the SEC.
Well, I'm just asking you to be like NC State, you know, to be a school. NC State, do they have the best facilities in all of college sports? No. But are their facilities comparable with what's in the ACC for the most part? Sure. And their football team is competitive at times, and their basketball team has been competitive at times, and their programs are competitive. But for Vanderbilt, and the thing about the SEC is they would argue that Vandy competes in the other sports, so that's why you keep Vandy. Now, I think Vandy is kind of grandfathered into the SEC. Like, if we were to start today and just open it up for all conference realignment and everybody goes, they would kick Vandy out of the SEC. Or the SEC would not pick Vanderbilt in terms of who they want to add into the school. But they're stuck in the SEC. SEC's not going to kick them out, and they're not going to volunteer to leave. So that's just the reality of it. But, I mean, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, this is the one thing that kind of bothers me, is we look at this and we see Vanderbilt, and we think we were trying to think like Vanderbilt and the people that are on that campus. And if you are a pre-med major who is from, you know, South Orange, New Jersey, and you go to Vandy and you don't care about sports, that doesn't mean that the sports team being good is going to hurt you as a pre-med major. And it's not like if all of your friends are going to the football game because College Game Day is coming this week, it doesn't mean that you're not going to go and then get into it. How many people are Predator fans now who weren't Predator fans 6 months ago?
Well, I mean, the thing I don't understand, and I mean, I guess I do understand, but I never liked the idea. I mean, two things I think get involved here, you know, which is, you know, what... I don't know. I'm trying to figure out
just
how to say
it.
This.
Just say it, Floyd.
I mean, what, you're a loser. That's a loser attitude. I mean, why do you do that? Why would you do that? You're going to school in a big-time university running around with your thumb and your forefinger on your forehead with a big L. Here I am. Loser. You know, we don't care about it. Ah, what the heck? I don't believe that's true. I mean, I went to UCLA, and I played football, and I'm proud of the football program. But you know what? It's got a great medical school, and I'm proud of that. We've got, you know, literature gurus that have been, you know, all over the world, written great novels, and I'm proud of that. I mean, I'm proud of all of it. I think it's a pride thing, too.
And Vanderbilt fans, even if they weren't diehard sports fans, I'm sure they got behind the baseball team when baseball went to the national championship game and won it. Surely they watched. Even with that ridiculous whistler, I'm sure they watched.
Well, and I think Fitzy brought up a good point with that, though, which is, you know, if you've got capacity crowd in baseball, you got, what, 5,000 people, you know? Capacity crowd in football, you've got to have 40,000. I don't know what the numbers are. I'm just throwing them out there. And 40,000 for Vanderbilt means that you've got all the students and – and what, 35,000 alum.
Oh, and you got to convert people that aren't Vandy fans or alums into Vandy fans. Like when I lived in Louisville, there were a lot of people who were Louisville or Kentucky fans who weren't, you know, sure, alums or things like that. UT has tons of fans that were not. I grew up a Vanderbilt fan. Didn't go to Vandy. Had no interest in going to Vandy. Was never going to go to Vandy. I mean, both my folks kind of went to Vandy, but they weren't like Vandy alums. Yeah, I mean, they were, but they're not like, we love Vandy because we went there. It was never like that. But I grew up a Vandy fan. You can do it. It's possible to not be associated with the university and still root for the team. So this is our Vandy caucus. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. And the question is, if you're a Vandy fan, are you okay with how Jordan Rogers laid out the facility situation? And it's our Vandy caucus where we want to hear from Vandy fans, Vandy supporters, Vandy alums, Vandy students, Vandy faculty, Vandy, whatever. I don't care. I want to hear from the Vandy people today because today gives us that opportunity on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. And TJ is going to start us off on the Vandy caucus. What's up, TJ?
Hey, I'm a big Vandy fan, and I heard the Jordan Rogers interview, and I hear it, and we would all love for everybody in the administration to invest heavily into the program, absolutely. The question is, it doesn't necessarily equate into higher performance, because if you look at Tennessee, for example, they highly invest in their athletic department, in the program, but have they not lost to Vanderbilt 3 out of the last 5 years? And in every other sport that they compete with against Vanderbilt, they lose. Vanderbilt beats them in basketball, baseball, tennis, golf, right? So the investment in the facilities does not mean they're going to be a superior program. They're doing great right now at the investment level that they're making.
Because I was going to say easy on the word great, but I know what you mean.
But they're killing their big state in-state rival that's investing all that money in their facilities.
I would say this, though, TJ. I would say this. Eventually, Tennessee's going to get it right, and they're going to get back to the – because they'll continue to pay the money. They'll get back to the level that they were when I was growing up in the 90s and in the early 2000s when, you know, I was, I think, 16 the first time Vandy ever beat Tennessee in my lifetime. That will happen again if Vandy doesn't invest. And so
– it was interesting, though. I mean, he brings up good points. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure if that is a positive for Vandy or a negative for Tennessee.
Well, huge negative for Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Tennessee people need to listen to a call like that and say, geez, he's got a good point, you know. I mean, we're investing a ton of money and all these resources into these programs, and where are we?
And he's right about the other sports in which Vanderbilt does beat them. You know, there are sports where Vandy is pretty good. Tennis, baseball, and that's great. But, I mean, the sports I care about, football, basketball, Vandy needs to do better. I mean, we had to run Kevin Stallings out of town, and it took forever to get him out. He should have been gone, as Snoop Dogg would say. I mean, so the question is, does Vanderbilt – or are you happy with Vandy where you are? That caller kind of felt like he was happy with where Vandy is.
Well, I mean, the fact is – if you're talking about him and, I mean, talking about Vandy and Tennessee, for what Vandy has invested in their program, they're getting a much better return on their dollar than is UT.
615-737-1025. We want to hear from Vanderbilt fans, Vanderbilt alums, Vanderbilt students, Vanderbilt coaches, Vanderbilt whatever. It's our Vanderbilt caucus here on Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Vanderbilt football is on the rise. As I look at our program and where we're at and what we've done, I thought in 2016 we took several steps forward to be a better program. You looked at how we finished the season, 4-2, got us to a bowl game for the first time in my tenure, and that was an exciting time for us. Definitely not satisfied. This group is definitely moving forward. And I talk to our guys about it all the time. It's about the work. It's a daily process and to make sure that we can work hard to achieve, push ourselves in the right direction to become Vanderbilt men.
Welcome back to the show on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Jared the G, and we are having a Vandy caucus where our question is, does Vanderbilt need to invest more in their facilities for football? But in general, does the Vanderbilt audience care more? You know, not just our audience who are Vanderbilt fans, but Vanderbilt fans, alumni, teachers, etc. Do they care enough for Vanderbilt to invest the money in it for Vanderbilt to compete? Because Jordan Rogers, a former football player, was on our show and kind of hammered the administration the other day. And we know Jordan cares because he's a former Vandy football player. But does the actual audience at Vanderbilt care? It was a great discussion Braden and Fitz had this morning. And so we're having a caucus for the people. And Floyd, on this Fireball Hot Take Friday, let's go right to him. Joe is up next. What's up, Joe?
Jared, you and I have talked about this before. It is beyond frustrating as a Vanderbilt alum, big fan, season ticket holder, to have to go sit in the worst stadium in major college football. There's no doubt about it. I do. So one thing on that, that's the administration. For some reason, I can't figure out why we don't have one of the nicest small stadiums in college football. They should just, I mean, I know it's a small space, but the thing is the on-campus. It needs to be one of the best game day experiences. 40,000 chair backs is all you need at Vanderbilt. Make it nice. Make it just like our city. So you could. That's how you would start to get the non-alumni who live here, who love football, college football, to kind of make Vanderbilt their team. But for some reason, the university, which has so much more money than any institution in the SEC, it's not even funny, won't invest it in football. I don't get it.
Well, and so, I think, Joe, I think this goes back to Braden and Fitz's point all along, and I appreciate your call, Joe. It goes back to Braden and Fitz's initial point that they don't think that their audience or their constituents of Vanderbilt fans, students, alumni, et cetera, they don't think they care enough.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he brings up, I think his point is right on, which is, you know, probably, I don't know what percentage, and it would depend on the school, et cetera, but every school has people in the town that are school supporters that, like you said, didn't ever go to the school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not alumni. They just live in that city, in the proximity of that university, and they've become fans over time. Well, I think for Vanderbilt, there's probably not much of that. And not much of that today. I'm talking about right now. In the past, I think there was some of that. And I think part of it is just, you know, what are you going to go? Why would you go to that stadium and watch a game? You know, why would you do it? It's not enthusiastic. It's not a great environment. It's not a comfortable stadium. I mean, it's just, and I think he hit it on the head. If there was a place that you could go to, I mean, we hear people talk about going to the Sounds games all the time.
I went to the Sounds game on Saturday.
There
had a blast.
You go. You know, why do you go? I mean, are you great to watch the outstanding baseball in the AAA? You know, maybe that's it, but you're probably going there to have a good time. I mean, it's a beautiful park. There's a lot going on. They cater to the fans and to the people that are there, and it's an event. It's worth going to. Not because you're necessarily a AAA baseball fanatic, but and that's one of the things that I think Vandy has to consider when they're, especially in Nashville, the way it's growing. I mean, there are going to be people in Nashville that will want to see high caliber SEC football.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may make them drive down the road, you know, either south or east or, you know, whichever way they're going to go to find it. But, I mean, there's going to be enough people in this town that are going to say, hey, I like college football. I want to support it. And if Vanderbilt doesn't have a place for them to land, to come and support, I think they're really going to be missing out.
And once I build that stadium, another thing I would do if I was Vanderbilt is I would play a lot of games during the week. I would try to play Thursday and Friday games. You know, try to get on national television on a more consistent basis. And then that way people can watch whatever game they want to watch on Saturday and still be able to go to your game on Thursday night. I mean, that's just a small thing, though. But I do, it's interesting to hear the Vanderbilt fans because some of them are kind of upset about it, and some of them are just, well, you know, I'm a season ticket holder, and I've been a season ticket holder, but what are you going to do? And so there, to me, there's a little bit of a question there. We're here on our Vandy caucus. Ty is up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Ty?
Hey, guys. I consider myself a what I would call a semi-Vandy fan. And let me explain that to you. I'm not affiliated with a college, but this is my hometown. I do follow the basketball program. I do follow the baseball program. And I tried to follow the football program. But honestly, like you're saying, that stadium's ridiculous. And as far as the fans caring, they do not care. They show up very, very late. They leave very, very early. It's the most dead stadium in college football. It's absolutely ridiculous. I have been to high school games on Friday night with more enthusiasm than in a Vandy game. It's just absolutely silly.
See, I gotta disagree just a little bit. I know what you mean. But I disagree a little bit because when James Franklin opened the season after his first 8-4 season, so this was like his second 8-4 season, I think, and they opened against South Carolina, there were a lot of fans there on that Thursday night. It was exciting. And I know that if they can make that exciting after an 8-4 season, they can get people excited in Vandy football.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the key there is Thursday night, like you said, games during the week. But on a Saturday, it's ridiculous. It's like, well, we're going to show up because it's their social event. It's not their team event. And that's the problem with Vanderbilt. Their attitudes are different. It's like, you know, we want to be the high and mighty, but we're not willing to come off of our dollars to make it happen.
Floyd, what do you think of that? Thank you, Ty.
I mean, he brings up some good points, I think. You know, I mean, I would agree with him. I think if you're a college football fan, I don't care where you're from, and you're one of the 100 people a day that have moved to Nashville, and you are looking for a college team to support, the first team you're going to look at is Vandy, because it's right here. And if you can't get satisfaction at Vandy, then you're going to go someplace else. I mean, maybe it's as close as MTSU. Maybe it's as close as TSU. Maybe it's as close as Tuscaloosa or Knoxville or wherever. But you're going to get that satisfaction. I just think it's a shame that Vanderbilt may be missing out on a lot of that.
I told administrators at Louisville around the Music City Bowl, I told them, I said, if I were you guys, I'd invest here in Nashville. Because UT is probably the most popular team here. Alabama's probably second. But there's still kind of a void in the market of a really good college football team. And I would play games here. I would play Western Kentucky at Nissan Stadium. I would play games here if I was Louisville. I would be in Nashville because you're just as close to Louisville as you are to Knoxville. And I would get people excited about coming here, and I would make Nashville a big deal for my fans in Kentucky, and making fans here make them Louisville fans, because there is such a void in that reality around college football here. I would do it in a heartbeat. And so I think there is something to that. There's something else, though, that I do want to discuss on this Vandy caucus, and we will get back to your calls. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 here on our Vandy caucus. And I don't know if you guys have noticed this on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. I'm kind of letting the callers go a little bit longer than I usually do, and that's because this is a group discussion here as we are assessing Vandy and what they can do and what they should do and do they care and how much should they care and how much do they actually care and all of those things. But I have one thing that I do know for a fact. And I'll explain that coming up next. You're listening on a Fireball Hot Take Friday live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I'm trying to think of somebody in our league that I don't have a tremendous amount of respect for. I mean, Vanderbilt went to a bowl game last year and had a winning season. So, you know, I think there's a lot of parity in our league. I think it's very challenging from a consistency standpoint in our league.
How about Nick Saban giving Vanderbilt a little shout-out there?
Not sure it was a positive shout-out, but it was a shout-out.
It wasn't a negative shout-out, and Vanderbilt will take any shout-out they can get from Nick Saban.
It was kind of like, I mean, even Vanderbilt went to a bowl game.
So I love all of our teams. Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's our Vanderbilt caucus today on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. The one thing I do know, and I'll give this out there, get Floyd's reaction, then get right to the calls. There is one thing in all of this I do know. When we discuss Vanderbilt's administration, the question is really, do the fans, do the alumni, do the students, do the people, anybody you would see wearing a Vandy hat, do they care enough for Vanderbilt to try and keep up? I'm not saying keep up with Georgia, Florida, LSU, Alabama. I'm saying keep up with Kentucky and Missouri. Do those people care enough? Are there enough of them to care at that level that Vanderbilt should invest in their facilities, like Jordan Rogers kind of brought up on our show a couple days ago, and then Braden and Fitz discussed at length this morning. Braden and Fitz saying no. And the one thing in all this I do know is when you say Vandy's administration, there's a big blanket that goes over that. But obviously, most of these things start at the top, and that goes to Chancellor Nick Szepos. Now, I've known Nick Szepos since I was like 6 or 7 years old. I went to school with his son, and I mean, if I have a concern, I'll go to Nick Szepos and say it. If he's got a concern, I mean, it'll be known. The one thing I'll say is he does care. I know that to be a fact, Floyd. I know he does care. You know, he was the head of the Chancellor's Committee when they hired Greg Sankey of the SEC. He was willing to pay James Franklin $5 million a year to stay and coach football. They hired Bryce Drew. They've won multiple national titles. They've won more national titles with Nick Szepos as chancellor than they have with any other chancellor all combined. You know, they've gone to bowl games and draft picks in the major leagues now, and they paid to keep Tim Corbin. I know he cares, but I also know he's hands off. So David Williams is the guy that he leaves in charge of athletics. And like you would want any chancellor or president or team owner in pro sports, he's hands off. Nick Szepos doesn't want to get too involved. But I know he cares. And if he cares, and the fans to some extent care, there's got to be some middle ground in which they can meet in to make the facilities better, to keep up with Kentucky, to keep up with South Carolina, to keep up with Missouri in football, and put an entertaining product out on the football field every year. It may not be a national title contender, but an 8, 7, 9, maybe a 10-win football program out there.
Yeah, I don't, you know, again, it's like we said before, in my opinion. I mean, if you could some way, somehow break even in the SEC East and you win a couple of the non-conference games, I mean, you go to a bowl every year. You know, I mean, that's all. You just want some sort of some semblance of respectability. And I think right now, I mean, Vanderbilt is just, it's sad the way they're looked at. You know, I mean, that's the part that affects you. And unfortunately for them, we're in a city of, you know, can do. We're right in the middle of, yes, we can do it. Yes, we will do it. And I think, you know, everything in this city, everything about it is booming. And you know, it seems that they're pretty stagnant. And yet I can understand what Fitzy was saying this morning. You know, it's just that's not their clientele. And I'm said again, okay, if it's not their clientele, fine. You know? OVC, here we come. We'll go find a conference we can compete at with
you,
at
you
that
either
level.
You want Vanderbilt to either invest like the SEC or get out of the SEC.
Well, I just think it's a scam. I mean, I think you're taking all the money, you're taking all the prestige, you're taking everything you can get from the SEC, and what are you giving back? I mean, that's the question in my mind.
Our Vandy Caucus continues with your phone calls, 615-737-1025. Now, we wanted to invite Vanderbilt people, Vandy fans, Vandy students, Vandy alums, Vandy. Eric is a Vols fan, and while I don't think a Republican Party caucus would let a Democrat come in to talk, should we let Eric come in here, even though he's a Vols fan into our Vandy caucus?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's go to Eric, who's up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday in our Vandy caucus. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys, I appreciate you letting me on. I kind of figured out what you guys were talking about. I was driving through Nashville. And anyway, I agree with what you guys were just talking about in the fact that I've been to a couple games at Vandy. I went and watched them play LSU a few years ago, and there were more LSU fans in that stadium than there were Vandy fans. And the facilities themselves, I mean, you know, it seemed, from what I remember, I think it was concrete bleachers or seating, and that was about it. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, an SEC school, I mean, it's just kind of like Vandy has not kept up with the times. You know, Neyland Stadium there in Knoxville, old stadium, but, you know, they've invested money back in the stadium, you know, at least trying to keep up with the times and keep the place nice and making it for the fans a pleasant experience. And I'm not a Vandy hater by any means. You know, I pull for Vandy when they're not playing Tennessee, so because I am here in Tennessee. But yeah, I mean, I agree. It just seems like they're, like, yeah, I think you said a second ago, just stagnant. And even the fan base, You know, I'm sure, I don't know what the population of Nashville is, but I know it's more than Knoxville. But
well, and what I think is funny, Eric, and I appreciate your call, what I think is funny is when Jordan Rodgers was on the show the other day, he wasn't talking stadium. He was talking about the actual training facilities.
Yeah, all the other facilities. All the facilities that are used by everyone, not just football. Everyone.
And the difference being that if you're a fan or if you're a caller or somebody, the only time you go to the facilities is the stadium on game day. You know, you don't go to the weight room.
Right.
But for a guy like Jordan, he knows exactly what that's like as a football player where, I mean, in the NFL, don't you think the players care more about the practice facility than they would the actual game day facility? You know, if you said to an NFL player, you can either have a nice practice facility where the team trains, where you have practice every day, or you can have a nice game day facility, which you use 8 times a year, they'd say they'd rather have a better practice facility.
Well, yeah, you live in the practice facility. Although, you know, all the game day facilities are pretty nice. I mean, that's not something that's, generally speaking, a concern.
I'm just saying, though, from the way that Jordan looked at it in recruiting and getting these players and things like that, it to me with Vandy, it is you have an opportunity in front of you. You need to seize the opportunity. We didn't do anything, but last time we had Derek Mason on, the Vanderbilt football coach, he came on our show to kind of pump their Commodore Caravan that they were doing. And they were doing it at the Corner Pub restaurant. And I'm not here to knock the Corner Pub because I actually like the Corner Pub a lot. But in Alabama, do you think Nick Saban could have an event like that and it not pack the restaurant to where people couldn't even fit in anymore?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they had the Vanderbilt football coach and the basketball coach and other coaches all there for the Commodore Caravan. And I'm thinking to myself, if this was LSU and they had the football coach, that's all they could get. I mean, I bet you it costs thousands of dollars to host the coach's show. I mean, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars to host the coach's show at Arkansas for Brett Bielema to go out to that place. Because if they knew Brett Bielema was there, they'd line out the door. And I just, on a certain level, wish Vanderbilt would operate like that and not like Western Kentucky. And that's all I'm asking. And that's what I think their fans deserve. And maybe there is a percentage of Vanderbilt supporters who support the university that don't support sports or care about sports, but that's that way with every college.
Every school is that way. And I don't know what the percentages are, but I think that's true everywhere. But by the same token, college students that were never fans of any athletic event, when they go to a university, and it's a major university, and you can walk into a, you know, 15,000-16,000 seat brand new basketball pavilion. It's pretty cool now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty nice. You go in there and there are championship banners hanging around the thing, and you look around and you go, wow, this is really cool. I'm coming back here. And I would have to think, I don't care what school it is, you would like for that to happen on your campus. You would like for that to be an event.
615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We started this hour off with the Vandy Caucus. I woke up today, and I listened to Braden and Fitz, and I heard them talking, and I said, okay, we're going to do 1 hour to start the show on our Vandy Caucus because we can. We've already had great calls. We'll take more. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. And a very simple question I have for Vanderbilt fans as well. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. ESPN 1025, the game wants you to sign up for our $5,000 home improvement contest. Go to thegamenashville.com and register to win $2,500 of furniture and bedding from Atlantic Bedding and Furniture, along with your own spa valued at $2,500 from Four Wind Spas. It's brought to you by Atlantic Bedding and Furniture, your style, your budget. Four Wind Spas, relax, you've earned it, and your friends at ESPN 1025, the game.
The root of the problem is not the head coach, it's not the players, it's the administration and the ability for them to see longevity or to have the forethought to realize what they need to do to their facilities and the money they need to put into a program to create a destination that you're able to recruit the type of talent that will get you not just to go 6 wins and get to a bowl game every few years, but to consistently win 6 and 7 and 8 games a year. Vanderbilt will always be able to win a bowl game every few years or every couple years, and I know that's even a stretch to say that, but you're never going to do it consistently with the facilities that they have.
That was Jordan Rogers at SEC Media Days on our show. We've been discussing that, and do they care? Does Vandy's administration, do the supporters of the school, et cetera? It's kind of been our Vanderbilt caucus, as we like to call it today on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. And I got one question, Floyd, that I wonder. We saw with baseball, you know, when I used to go to Vandy baseball camp growing up, they'd give us the media guide at the end of camp, and you'd read the media guide, and Vanderbilt never won anything. And their stadium was fine, but it was nothing special. Well, then they renovated the baseball stadium, and then they hired Tim Corbin. And then Tim Corbin started winning a little bit. Tim Corbin didn't just win national championships. I remember when they won a regional and got their butts kicked at Texas, but it was a huge step to get to the super regional for the first time ever. And Vanderbilt got there, and then Tim Corbin, you know, wins a little more, recruits a little better. Then they start winning. And then they invested in changes to the stadium, changes to the complex, and now they've got, what is it, like a $20 million complex that they're building, locker rooms for former players and current players, and they've got their David Prices to invest in it, and former players are investing. Why can't they care about football the way they care about baseball?
Well, I mean, the obvious answer is that, you know, the football stuff is going to cost, you know, 10, 12, 20 times more. I don't know what the amount is, but
it's hard to cost 20 times more than $20 million, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, you figure, you know, you pay $20 million to build a, I don't know what it costs, the baseball facility, whatever that costs, $10, $15, $20 million. I mean, to get a stadium, a legitimate stadium, I mean, it's a whole lot more
but
than that.
But I'm not talking stadium, though, because that's not what Jordan's talking.
Right.
Jordan's talking about the actual facilities. And
facility?
I'm just saying, why don't they care like they care about baseball? And the answer is simple, because baseball wins. And so the people that look at baseball at Vandy, they support it because they want to keep winning, because Vandy fans want to win like every other school in my mind. The difference is Vanderbilt is more okay with losing than other schools are. It's like Nick Saban said to Marcus Spears, it's not so much I like winning, it's that I hate losing. And for Vandy, they like winning too. They were going to pay James Franklin $5 million. They like winning. But the alternative of winning is losing, and they don't hate losing as much as everybody else
the
does.
The part that stymies me, and James Franklin and his tenure here is a great example of it. People forget about that time. People have kind of been where it is now for so long, they think this is the way it's always been. I think if they think back to James Franklin and those years, and, you know, people showing up and people excited about Vanderbilt football and people talking about it, and, you know, you saw people wearing Vanderbilt stuff, you know, hats and whatnot, going to the games and all the excitement involved, and that was a short period. Imagine if that was, you know, if that period could be 10 years, 8 years. I mean, where are you then? You know, is your 40,000-seat stadium way, way too small? Do you need a much bigger stadium now? I mean, I don't know. But it's I mean, Vanderbilt is not immune to excitement and joy of winning and being a part of a good program now.
Brett is up next on our Vanderbilt caucus here on Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Brett?
Hey, guys. Love the show. And, listen, I love the fact that you have Jordan on there a lot. I really love him as an analyst. My whole thing is that, you know, I know he said it's not the coaches, but I think it's going to take a coach to come in like what Derek Mason is doing now and stay. I think it's going to take someone to build up their reputation and demand more things, not just go and ask sheepishly to all the deans and stuff, but go and demand stuff. And I think that's what it's going to take to get Vanderbilt on that consistent basis, on that winning, loving more than the losing side of it.
Brett, I think that's a really good point you make, and that was kind of the way James Franklin treated it when he was here. The difference is, if you get that type of coach, it's always going to be one thing at a time. So it's going to be the first contract is going to be about the practice facility, and the second contract is going to be about increasing the assistant coaches' salaries, and the third contract is going to be about recruiting budget, and all those things are going to take time at Vanderbilt, whereas Nick Saban looks at your administration, and this happened when he went from Michigan State to LSU, and says, if you don't give me these 11 things, I'm not coming. Okay, Coach Saban, we'll get it. Supposedly, there's a part of the LSU football office that's called Saban's perch, because Nick Saban wanted this perch from the coach's office over the practice facility so that Saban could watch it go out of his office and look at the practice facility. And it's called Saban's perch, and Saban actually didn't stay long enough for it to be built for him to use. But that was what he demanded. He demanded things at Alabama. And the problem is what happens, let's say Vanderbilt does hire that type of coach. Let's say they find the Tim Corbin of college football. And they go get that great coach who does things the right way, who's a good coach, who can win games. Well, after the first contract, maybe he'll get a recruiting budget increase like Derek Mason did with this past contract, or an indoor practice facility like James Franklin did with his last contract. But at some point, some other school's going to come that's a Penn State, like with James Franklin, or USC, or Alabama, or Notre Dame, or Stanford, is going to come and say, hey, Vandy coach making $3.5 million a year, we'll pay you $5.5 million, plus we already have these things, and we'll continue to improve them. Come to Texas. And if you're a 9-win coach at Vandy, why would you try to work every day to get something new from Vandy when you can just go to Texas where they already have it for you and you can play for a national title on a more consistent basis? You're going to have a coach that says no to Texas to stay at Vandy. And I don't know about you. You've been a coach. That's really hard to get somebody that can do that.
Oh, yeah. That ain't going to happen now.
So you have to make the investments on the front end. You almost have to pay at the beginning.
You have to put it up front so they can see it, or they know it's coming. You know, they do. But this is the problem that's going to happen with Vandy. I mean, if somebody comes, let's say that Derek Mason wins 9-10 games this year. Well, he's going to go back to renegotiate his contract or whatever the case is. I don't know what his contract status is. But when you start talking about it, he's going to demand some things. Well, I mean, he's not going to go in with one thing. Okay, I want to pray. I mean, he's going to go in with a list. And Vandy's going to say no to the list. What's he going to do? He's going to go take another job.
Notre Dame.
Why would you go through all of that?
Let's say Derek Mason wins 10 games this year. Let's say Vandy gets out and wins 10 football games this season, which I don't think is very likely. But other than Alabama on their schedule, I think they can beat everybody that's on it. So let's just say the stars align. Chermer's the real deal. Not a lot of injuries. Vandy wins 10 games this year. And Vandy, because the SEC sucks, or at least did last year, Vandy is the SEC's representative in the Sugar Bowl. It's probably not going to happen, but let's just say for argument's sake it does. Notre Dame, meanwhile, fires Brian Kelly because he can't win any games. Well, Derek Mason now becomes the hottest coaching candidate in America because he won 10 games at Vandy. So now you want to keep Derek Mason because he stands for all the right things and he just won 10 games. So you're going to go to Derek Mason and say, okay, coach, what do we have to do? And Notre Dame's going to say, whatever they're going to do, we'll do more. So now you're competing against Notre Dame for a football coach. Good luck. But if you gave Derek Mason everything he wanted on the front end when he was losing by 30 points to Temple, and I would not have done that, but if you did, then you would have a better chance of getting him to say no to Notre Dame than you would in the flip side of it all coming afterwards. And that's why you have to care now. You can't. What Tim Corbin did in baseball cannot be done in football, where you get good and then you start caring about your coach. You have to care about your coach now. And I hate it, but that's just the reality of how it works. Coming up next, as we wrap up our Vanderbilt caucus on today's Fireball Hot Take Friday, win total expectation for Vandy. Floyd, you excited about that?
Yes, I am.
We will go over our win total expectation for Vandy football next year. We will do that coming up next. It is Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5, The Game.